Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, we discuss
a song so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics, but they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of trends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. Hey, Jim! Ah!
Budverge Week continues.
Yes, it does.
On Rockin' the Suburbs.
Rolls on.
Like Shark Week.
So, Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
I am Patrick Foster.
I'm Budverge again.
And Bud, we were talking a little bit on this day-long break that we had about how you or your wife feels that you're kind of stuck in the 80s musically. Is that true?
So much true.
Really?
She thinks I still think it's 1985. But that's my wheelhouse. I was 19 years old in 1985. The world is my oyster.
Yeah, man.
Who would want to not be stuck in 1985?
Right. You had the energy to understand everything.
I had my driver's license. I was in college. I could at least drink in two states near where I grew up.
When you're deciding what to listen to today, like what comes out from that era?
I do a lot of running. So when I run, I don't make playlists to go running. I just pretty much pick an album and go. Because I can gauge where I am in my run based upon where I am in the album.
Yep. Mm.
So one of the albums I really run to a lot is Missing Persons' Spring Session M.
Really?
Which is a great record with Terry Bozzio and Dale Bozzio and the Cucurellos, with great songs on it. Walking in L.A., Words, Destination Unknown. I get about 4 miles, 4.5 miles during that record. And if I can finish my route before the album finishes, I feel like I'm done pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, or I'll take a compilation like there's this Living in Oblivion CD came out. It's like five different CDs that I kind of, you know, put it on a mix and just let it go. And every once in a while, there's a song I got to, you know, click through. But other songs, you know, are pretty good. And there's like, you know, Hazy Fantasy, Shiny Shinies on there.
Nice.
And Spandau Ballet is on there, and
you get any 99 Luftballons or anything like that.
I think I double click through that one, but there's some. Today, I think I had Ultravox Vienna, and that was
nice.
I was running uphill. It was snowy. It was cold. It was wind just blowing in my face, and I'm like, these new earphones I have makes it hard to double click sometimes. So I had to listen to the whole 5 minute dirge
Yikes.
Of Vienna while I'm running uphill in the snow.
Pretty uncomfortable.
It was not fun.
Yeah.
A man in the dark in the picture frame, so mystic and soulful. A voice reaching out in a piercing cry, it stays with you until.
Okay, so one band that stands out from the 80s that I kind of noticed from some of our email correspondence or, you know, social media stuff or whatever that you still cling to some regard is Huey Lewis and the News.
Huey, yeah, everybody loves Huey, don't they?
I find it very curious that he's had sort of the lasting appeal that he has. You know, there's a lot of bands, you know, from the 80s that have fallen out of favor or, you know, Huey Lewis was hugely popular in the 80s and then never really heard from again, although he continues to tour and draw crowds. And I think it's a total, I guess, nostalgia thing, right?
Well, I think part of the beauty of it is that the music, while it is old, doesn't sound dated. It sounds like if I got five guys together in my garage, we could probably hammer out something that sounds similar to Huey Lewis and the News. I mean, there's a good guitar in there. There's a good bass in there. There's some simple drums. You got a horn. You know, maybe you got a friend who's a horn player. You could probably knock out a decent version of a Huey Lewis and the News song, and it wouldn't sound that horrible.
Right. You could play the Block Party. It'd be pretty good.
Well, and it's funny because, and the other thing too, they had those like background vocals, that kind of doo-woppy kind of thing that was always going on.
Yep.
At the time in the 80s, and you know, this is when I was in high school, when this band hit, I think a lot of it, you know, I mentioned sort of nostalgia today, but it was nostalgia back then. Like their sound, even though maybe it had some kind of new wavy elements to it from like late 70s, early 80s, mm-hmm. also sort of harkened back to like a 50s, early 60s kind of sound too. So, and that was right at the time when you had Reagan in office, mm-hmm. and a lot of his appeal was based on sort of a more nostalgic time in America and people kind of wanting to go back to that, right? Simpler time and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like it's no surprise that a Huey Lewis song was prominent in Back to the Future. In the 80s, there was this feeling like we wanted to be in the 50s.
And, you know, the band that's the News, right? Mm-hmm. Were at one time a sort of a pub rock band called Clover, and actually backed up Elvis Costello on the My Aim Is True album, right?
Correct.
Before the Attractions were really put together.
And what's great about the News is if you go back to the town where I grew up, where we had the two radio stations, you had the pop station,
yep.
and you had the AOR station. Huey Lewis and the News kind of fit in the middle of that Venn diagram. Mm-hmm. You get the rockers, you had the guitars, it was all, you know, pretty loud and in your face, but you also had the pop. It was a perfect crossover, you know, in 1983. So, I mean, you couldn't have made a better stew.
Yeah, and they had that toughness, you know, that kind of bar band toughness about them, but still a little sensitivity that allowed Huey's voice to shine through.
And the girls liked them too.
It was important.
Well, Huey Lewis was kind of dreamy.
He had that dimple.
He had that big hair.
That hair, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And he was clean cut, sort of wholesome, right?
Seemed pretty wholesome.
Yes.
Take that jacket, fling it over his shoulder, and walk on down to the bay.
Here's a funny thing. You mentioned Clover backing up Elvis Costello, but and some of the guys who ended up in the News were in Clover. And then some of them came from another band called Soundhole.
Hmm. I'm sorry.
Which I'm not sure if that's a good name for a band or a really bad name for a band.
Soundhole.
Making me a little uncomfortable.
They spent some time backing up Van Morrison. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Yeah. No, that's incredible. So they had to be pretty darn good.
Yeah, they were good players. And I think in both of those cases, you had guys coming from a R&B rock sort of background coming together. And then, of course, that's a lot of what Huey Lewis did was try to do this kind of blue-eyed soul. So let me play something for us right here, because what I find interesting about him, you know, he hit really big with the Sports album, which came out in 83. Mm-hmm. Okay. Before then, first couple albums had more of a new wavy kind of sound, right. And it's not quite yet that sort of polished sound, but it's a little bit more jagged, a little bit more angular, stuff like that. So, and I find it more interesting. So let's hear the first song off that debut album, 1980, Huey Lewis and the News. Okay, so that song is Some of My Lies Are True, which already sort of has a funny little, you know, kind of take on it, which I think is a little bit different than what he became. He became much more sincere rather than ironic kind of sounding. And like I said, doesn't it sound kind of, you know, late 70s,
definitely.
You know, new wave kind of stuff, like the Nerves or something like that, right?
Got a little Joe Jackson, like Look Sharp. Kind of a feel to it.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got that really, that kind of punch. I find that to be a more interesting record, I think, than some of the stuff that came later. Yeah. So let's take a little break and then we'll come back and we'll be able to regroup in that time.
Very good.
So Patrick, I just want to take a moment here to explain to our listeners, this is exposition here, what they can do to help out the podcast if they like it.
Why would they do that?
Well, hopefully they like Rock in the Suburbs. They want to keep it going.
Oh, they're nice people. I get it.
Yeah. And one of the ways they can do that is by... Listen to this. Take notes at home if you need to. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to the show on iTunes.
That's easy.
You find Rock in the Suburbs on iTunes. You hit the little subscribe button.
Yep.
Either on your computer or your phone.
Super easy.
And then if you could, just take a few moments, rate and review the show on iTunes. That helps us out because it makes the thing more visible to other people. And then they listen to it.
That's right.
We grow.
Talk about our triceps.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what people should rate. Rate us on.
Oh, you said iTunes. I'm sorry. I thought you said something different.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I'm kind of off off topic here, but go ahead and do that. And then, if you're not a an iTunes user, you can also follow the show on Audioboom. So that's also something you can do. There's like a follow button on there. If you have an Android device, you can do that. And then
great
you
service.
Get updates on when we have new episodes, which is pretty much all the time. So just keep checking in. All
every
right?
day. Yeah.
So please do those things.
Perfect.
Okay, we're back in the basement with Bud Verge, and we were talking about Huey Lewis in the News. And Bud, I think you're up to make a song selection for us.
I think Huey's second album came out in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
A couple good songs on that one. The one that I picked was Working for a Living. Comes in at a nice tight 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like all the great songs from the 50s and the 60s where they had to keep it under 3 minutes. And it was just it kind of just punches you and you get out of it. Why don't we take a listen to it? You know, you listen to that organ in that song, and that song is really driven by the organ, and it sounds like something, you know, you go out on a Saturday night, you've worked hard all week, you go out, there's a bar band out there, and there's five guys hammering out a pretty decent version of a Huey Lewis song or some sort of a pub rock song, and that's Working for a Living.
You know, it's funny because I think over the years, when you think of Huey Lewis in the News, one of the things you think of, you know, in terms of instrumentation is the horn section.
Yes.
Right? Or like I said, the sort of doo-wop background vocals or that kind of thing, right? But when you go back and listen now, the thing I think it's most impressive is the keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, that one right there, it's a little bit frantic sounding, you know what I mean? It's really...
really holds up.
I like that. That's a good pop song.
Pretty timeless. It doesn't sound dated. I think if you listen to a lot of the sort of hit records, quote unquote, from early 80s, right, you can definitely tell the time, but that one, not so much.
Do you have a Huey song that you like?
Yeah,
Patrick?
You know, and the one I'm going to play is probably very familiar to a lot of people out there. But at the time when I was working at a record store in high school, this album was selling in droves. Like you couldn't keep it on the $5.99 sale rack, you know, long enough because people at Sam Goody and Music Land were just coming in and purchasing like 3 or 4 copies. I'm buying a copy for my grandmother. She doesn't even have a record player, but I'm buying her one for Christmas. And the sports album got pretty tired because you heard it a lot, right? You heard it on the radio. You heard it in the store when you had to play it. You heard it everywhere. You heard it at Burger King when you were just trying to go have, you know, a Whopper.
Right.
Which I did often.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a lot of Whoppers back in the 80s. But the one I never got tired of really was...
Yeah, I remember that song.
Yeah, I Want a New Drug.
Oh, it's Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh. Oh. Or was it? There was some sort of legal controversy at some point.
No, I Want a New Drug.
Someone's getting paid and nobody's talking.
That's right. Somebody got involved. I always found it a little refreshing because it's essentially, you know, it was the go-go 80s, right? But this song was basically saying, I want a new drug that makes me feel like you, but I don't necessarily want to have to be with you. I just want that drug. It's kind of what Huey was saying, right? It had kind of a fresh spin. It had kind of some different stuff that the earlier singles didn't have. It was kind of clever. The wordplay was pretty good.
Yeah. And tell me if I'm remembering this correctly. Was there sort of a, was there any kind of like minor controversy at all, being that this was like the era of like Just Say No and the war on drugs and stuff like that, to do a song called I Want a New Drug? Yeah,
that's right. And I personally wouldn't sell the album to anybody because of that song.
You would just sell them drugs.
That's right.
Did you at least check their IDs to make sure they were of legal age?
I did, yeah. If you want to meet me behind the store, behind the mall, by the dumpsters.
Did you give away the first Huey Lewis for free and hope they would come back and buy some more?
That's what it is. Let me give you a taste of this Huey Lewis. Here.
So that's single. That's why people are buying three at a time.
Exactly right.
Oh, yeah. We now had a pretty it all good makes racket sense. Going.
Yeah. Yes. We split them up amongst the four of us. So it was a good deal.
And as we mentioned, Huey still tours and I think does really well and packs him in, right? And Bud, have you gone to see him at all?
I've seen Huey Lewis more times than I care to admit.
Well, we want you to admit it right now. So
I'll admit it.
How many times would you say?
Probably at least six.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of times. I've gone once, but that was back on the sports tour when I was in high school. I got my parents to take me and a friend, my friend Brian Hill.
Yep.
And
remember Brian?
We went to, we lived in Toledo, Ohio. We went to the Pine Knob Music Theater, which was outside of Detroit. Mm-hmm. It was one of those big amphitheater kind of things because he had just blown up and played big places like that. And sat on the lawn. My parents had to sit back.
That's right. Nowhere near
us. And that was fun. That was a good time.
Sounds delicious. Yeah.
It's a good time in high school. Yeah.
I think we all loaded into the conversion van. There might have been a 12-pack of something. probably, you know, adult Sprite. And we had barreled up to the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, I think, in 1983.
Nice.
And saw Huey, you know, out in nature.
That's very, very good.
All right. And you, have you ever seen
Huey? Never saw Huey.
Well, let's go. Amazingly. Let's go next time
we
come, Trap.
This summer, we'll go.
That's right.
We'll
three talk of us. To
him. Yeah.
We're there.
We'll play golf with him beforehand because I think he's a big golfer.
All right. And you are too.
I am. Yeah. So we could play. Yeah. We could play for money.
All right. So please, though, listen to Rockin' the Suburbs, not every week, but
every day.
And you can find the show on iTunes or Audio Boom. You can also email us. Tell us your thoughts about Huey Lewis in the News or any other musical topic. The email address is suburbspod@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook at suburbspod. And you can call the Suburban Party Line. That number is 612-440-1984. Please do that. Bud, you'll be back with us tomorrow.
I got the day off from work.
Bud Verge Week continues. Please join us.
You know he got a perfect score on his math portion of the SAT?
That's funny. I don't know what to make of that.